Chris Hastings and Hilavi Lovin are here to talk about the documentary A Deep Run that premieres on the second season of Real South on the World Channel on January 15th. Hi, Chris and Hilavi.
Hello, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us about Deep Run.
Deep Run is my first feature film. It is the story of a young trans man growing up in evangelical rural North Carolina. Been working on it for about 8 years. So before trans stories kind of jumped into media, kind of like, you know, brought them out. And it's had a really small and dedicated crew, including my producers, Chris Talbot, Samara Levenstein, and Susan Sarandon, who have been really crucial collaborators for a long while in the process.
What was your inspiration for telling this story?
The inspiration for telling this story actually was planted in 2004. I was working on progressive youth voter mobilization that whole year, and I was devastated by the election results. But I felt very out of touch with the American electorate, and I was looking for a documentary subject. I discovered the youth culture of evangelical millennials, and I started following that culture and a Christian punk boy band, which ended up on a tour of the South and connected me to the community where Cole was living. So it was a long road, and then I met this whole circle of kind of rebel underground Christians and was introduced to Cole, and then just kind of fell in love with Cole and his story and his spirit. When I met Cole, Cole was 17 and was identifying publicly as a lesbian, but a few people and his grandmother, who he was very close to, he was out as trans, but didn't feel comfortable publicly speaking to me about it or being out in public. So I didn't know that he was going to come out as trans and that this was going to become a trans coming of age story. So that was all a journey.
This documentary does chronicle the LGBT scene as well as the trans scene in North Carolina while this whole anti-LGBT legislation was passed. So what's your spin on that?
I started following the story before all that legislation came to pass, but, you know, clearly it really kind of came into the national spotlight. And I also think that given the current political climate, we're going to have to be more vigilant about legislation that is circulating around the country. So I hope that the film can be more useful now, especially with Mike Pence in the administration and others. I feel like there's going to be a lot of this legislation coming up around different states.
What do you hope to accomplish with this documentary and also the series? You know, Chris, you can talk about that a little bit too.
I hope that the film can provide images of strength for LGBTQ youth. I've screened around the country and at Southern film festivals and with Southern LGBTQ youth groups. It's been especially rewarding because I've had a response where kids have just never seen representation like this, so that was really rewarding to have them screen and have discussions with them. And then we also, my whole team hopes that this film can sway people who are in the movable middle so that people, families, people of faith can be welcomed into Cole's reality and hopefully be awakened to what he faces in his daily life and begin to engage in a conversation about trans rights and LGBTQ rights if they were on the sidelines, you know, thus far. I hope that it can be an invitation to understanding and engaging in the issues.
Chris, you're executive producer of the World Channel and where Real South is going to be airing a second season. What do you think about including this documentary in the series this year?
I think it's a wonderful addition. I can't speak necessarily to Real South, but I'm great friends with the executive producers, Rachel Rainey and Amy Schumacher, both from public media, premier Southern PBS station, UNC in North Carolina, and SCTV in South Carolina. And when they started this series, they really were trying to gather as many stories from the South as possible. And so to add in an LGBT story from the South, I think it's a great addition. I mean, as you mentioned, I'm executive producer of World Channel, and for the past 5 years, we've been curating a number of different LGBT films from around the country. And one of the holes that we have is that we don't have enough stories from the South. We don't have enough stories on the slate where there are authentic stories from people who are living below the Mason-Dixon line. And so Real South, I think, for us, allows us to really show that a transformer America is also happening in the South. When we think about the South, we think about Confederate flags, and we think about a lot of race relation questions. But when we think about the evolution of the LGBT community, it's important that we include regional diversity to that. And to be able to show these stories of people's lives that are transforming, that are evolving, and bring it to the forefront, it's a big, an important part of World Channel's mission, to be able to show the full story of America and its evolution. And so I'm excited that people are going to get to see this film. I've been following the film for about 2 years now. I originally saw the film at Doc NYC probably about a year ago, and we were really eager to get it onto World Channel. We had, at one point, I think we actually tried to get it into our flagship series, America Reframed. Ultimately, the film is going to be in Real South, and so we're super excited that it's going to be in Real South's second season. It's such a timely story, and it's a story that needs to be seen.
I want to add one more thing that Chris touched on, which is just another inspiration for making this film and following Cole's story, is to provide a portrait, a nuanced portrait of America. And I started thinking about this in 2004, and the issues are still with us, where we really see red state, blue state portrayals of opposition. And not to say that we don't have a lot of differences happening in our country, but I also think there are a lot of people who are on a spectrum and who are willing to engage in dialogue and conversation and change. It's a very important fact to be aware of and remember. And also people like Cole, who might be seen as an outsider being trans in a rural community, but who want to remain in their home. I think that's just an important story to be told as well, that not everybody who is thought of as different has to like run away to the city.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Chris, do you want to jump in?
My personal commitment is that I want to always remind people that when we think about civil rights, it's not about white and black anymore. Diversity is such a broad sort of idea. And this idea of being inclusive is what we need to really remind people that we need to be inclusive. And that also means LGBT. And so we have to continue to remind people that just as we fight for civil rights in the 60s and fight for civil rights in 2016, you have to make the LGBT community a part of that equation. When you look at some of the different stories that have come out over the past, like, week, we have to remind people that inclusion isn't just about race anymore. It isn't just about gender, specifically women. It's about how people are living today. And for me, it's important to continue to tell those stories, to remind people these are our equals. These are part of the broader community. They are the broader community. And this is important stories that we have to keep putting out there so that people understand that they're just like you or I. They are me and you, and they are our brothers and sisters, and we have to be a part of this greater good of sharing story.
And Hilary, do you have something to add to that?
I would say on a more personal note, I was a straight white girl growing up in Chelsea in the West Village, born and bred New Yorker. Chelsea and the West Village were my homes, and I always felt like I was part of the LGBT community and an ally. And the LGBTQ community also has just provided incredible inspiration and support personally for me, and then also throughout the years of making and finishing this film. So I have a commitment to stand up for those around me, basically.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in a Trump administration?
I think we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I think from my perspective as a journalist and somebody who is presenting story, I think what we have to do is continue to sort of capture what's happening, put the mirror up to what's happening. And I would hope that in presenting the stories like Deep South and Serious Like Real South on World Channel, I think this dialogue can happen about what this administration does or what this administration doesn't do. But I think from my perspective is we just don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot that's been shared within the campaign, and I think there's a lot that's been shared from different politicians around the country. And by no means should we assume that just because there is a new president who won the electoral vote, when you look at the broader sort of popular vote, I think the nation's very split, 50-50 about what they feel about any number of issues. So I think when we think about some of the key items that are going to come up within this administration in the next 4 years, I think we kind of have to wait and see, question everything, be journalists and tell the whole story, particularly on the documentary side, because it's sort of a longer sort of work that we have to do to sort of capture history. But I think I can't necessarily say what's going to come out of it. All I can say is we're going to be there with cameras, and we're going to be there with reporters, and we're going to tell those stories so that we continue to hold the mirror up so everybody can see this is who we are in 2017, 2018.
Hillary, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I don't have all the answers. But what I have already seen in North Carolina and with the fight against HB2, and I hope to see more of, is the LGBTQ community forming strong coalitions with diverse groups. A lot of us have been going through a lot of fear with the incoming Trump administration, but I'm trying to come back to the thought that this is also a possibility, a moment of possibility, and members of the LGBTQ community are also part of the immigrant community, the Muslim community, and are part of groups who look, think, and believe differently than the people Trump will be putting in charge of our agencies and our government. So I hope that a lot of strength and movement building can come out of this political environment.
How can people get information about Deep Run?
So people can go to deeprunfilm.com for more information about the film. Women Make Movies is doing educational distribution with us. And then for broadcast dates, you can go search for Deep Run on worldchannel.org. And then we will also be coming out on Netflix in March.
What other projects are you working on, Hillary?
Right now, I'm developing a comedy series about a group of rowdy girls and an underground resistance movement set in a futuristic fascist regime. So I'm hoping to develop some material that uses satire to make political commentary and hopefully get people energized. I'm also working on short activist videos aimed at mobilizing people to stand up for civil rights under the Trump presidency.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I wish people would ask, how can I make a difference in my community with Deep Run? A lot of change around perceptions of LGBTQ people and LGBTQ rights can happen in conversation and on one-to-one conversations. So I want to encourage people who've been moved by Deep Run and Cold Story to organize a screening at their school, at their PTA meeting, with a group of their friends, or at their church, because I have a lot of hope for the amount of change that can happen when we engage with each other in that way, in more intimate settings and in conversation. And especially, I mean, particularly for Deep Run, but I feel like this is also a crucial moment in history where community building and networking and coalition building is utterly important for all of our lives.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
It always seems impossible until it is done, which is a quote from Nelson Mandela. For me, it means just continue. If you have a vision, continue putting one foot in front of the other, even when it seems incredibly daunting. And I feel like, you know, we're in daunting times right now. I feel like we are going into difficult times, but I feel like there's so many points in history and in American history when people have stood up, and we will continue to do that.
And Chris, do you have a quote or mantra?
Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort or convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." And that quote to me is something I taught my son a few years back when we were, as a family, going through a lot of different change. And it's something that I ultimately believe. If you are somebody who is going through things and you're still standing afterwards, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are in good times. The question is, are you still standing after troubled waters? And I think that's the measure of any person that you can make it through, that you can see it through. Times are going to be rough, I'm still going to stand. Times are going to be good, great if I'm standing, but if I can make it through the rough waters, I'm good.